Blog Talk Radio.
In the stillness, we hear our mother's voice. Like a dream, she say, break through the concrete, escape those bleak streets, and finally feel the soft soil beneath your feet. Expose my living skin to the sun and the air, and be prepared. Great change is coming soon. With your touch, I can heal my wounds if you just allow me to breathe. We will weave with this greenness the great blanket of peace. Break through the asphalt encasing your heart. Embark on the path of courage. Nothing's gonna stop you. Be bold for all that you hold dear. No fear. Let go and rewild your soul. All you need is around you in abundance of love. You are blessed beyond measure from below and above. Just follow the map. It's written you in every leaf. See, we stem from each other, my friend. You complete me. Work isn't work. Your hands in the earth. And rest is so sweet when you bring life to birth. Chase the flight of the floating weed seed. Hum along to the song of the humble bumblebee. Follow the branches, the ground, the light. Nourishing the dirt, though they point to the sky. Gaze at the clouds, they drift by, tumble with the tide each day like you were baptized. Be reminded that you are a wild child. So dance with the shadow of the swaying tree, fall with the rain, roll with the waves. Believe, pause to reflect on the stillness of a lake, every ripple saying, we are one and the same. Trace your fingers along the veins of a leaf. You are a branch of this family, a most incredible creature. Close your eyes, find your path. See that life is a cycle. Every ending brings a fresh start. A season shift and colors change. Die to the past. Embrace each new day. Listen to me. Listen to me with your heart. Embark on the path of courage. Nothing's going to stop you. Listen to me. Listen to me with your heart. Be bold for all that you hold dear. No fear, let me breathe if you love me. Let me breathe, let me breathe. You are blessed beyond measure from below and above. Let me breathe if you love me. Let me breathe, let me breathe. Let go, rewild your soul. Protect me as your kin. See, hear, feel, you know where to begin again. Allow me to recover and thrive. Revive the tribe and we can move into the future as one. My daughters, my sons. She say that every other species is doing its part, and we came here to shine a way through the darkness. She says our freedom is assured. We're the ones that we're waiting for. So I take flight, see the cage left open. Make a break for it, reject slavery. Turn away from hatred, maybe we were chained. Gain strength from our mistakes. Move beyond civilization with soul, life at stake. I would simply sit back, watch the planet ravage man. Drowning in the city, still clinging to my baggage. I can't be weighed down. I release my regret, move with the moment. As living spirit fused with flesh. If not you, who? If not now, when? You've been bashed, bruised and broken, ain't beaten yet, my friend. So be bold for all that you hold dear. No fear, then let go, rewild your soul.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us on the Wise Women Media, the radio show. And I just have to give big props to a guest we've had on our show before. That was We Earthling MC with her spoken word flowetry, I think she calls it, but that was her piece called Rewild. I wanted to just do a few announcements before we welcome our special guest, our returning guest, Tricia Springstead. You can check us out online at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. On the website there, you will see complete show descriptions, archives to all of our past shows, a list of our sponsors, ways to get in touch with us, links to our social networks. We're always accepting of feedback or suggestions for future guests. And we also want to say thank you to Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio that gives us this little slot of time once a week so we can do this show. Also, remember that we are not corporate funded. We are independent media. And if you can help us out by hitting the GoFundMe link and drop a little money in there to keep us going every week. So we are waiting for Tricia to come onto the air and join us. There's so much going on in Florida right now, it's almost hard to know where to begin. Of course, Tricia, being an expert in what's happened with the Gulf oil disaster in the past, we've recently got some new onslaughts of environmental problems. One is the fracking that's taking place down in Naples, Florida, which is very close, contiguous to the Florida Panther Refuge, and it's one, I believe it's the last area left, and it's guesstimated that there's about 100 panthers left as well. So this week, the fracking took place against regulations, and there's I'm going to be going over that shortly, but there was quite a lot of media coverage about it, and Senator Nelson has also been very vocal about if you're going to have regulations on how to conduct oil drilling or fracking, then if you're not going to obey those regulations, that definitely creates a suspicion of doubt that they're ever going to be obeyed or adhered to. So in addition to the fracking there, there's also another project, which would be a 70 to 75-mile road through the Everglades called the River of Grass. So Tricia can tell us more about that when she comes on, and I'm still waiting for Tricia to come. And then we have, in addition to the Gulf oil disaster, which of course is ongoing, even though that happened over 4 years ago, we have the Sable Trail natural gas pipeline, which is going to be going to through three states, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. A major portion of the pipeline is going to come very, very close to Tampa, which, of course, is where we broadcast from, a little north of Tampa. And it's just coming a little too close to comfort. The section of the pipeline through that's called Sable Trail will actually end, I believe, just south of Orlando, and then there will be another project to take the natural gas to the coast. So the big discussion right now is, who are the end users? Who's going to profit? Who's purchasing this? Will it provide jobs for Americans? Probably not. Will it lower our prices at the pump? We definitely don't think so. So there's a lot of questions about how this is going to be conducted, whether they're going to go with the projections, and there are maps which you can take a look at and see if your property will be directly affected or very close to the pipeline. You can check out Spectra Busters, which is an organization of people from all three states. Spectra Busters has on their site linked maps of the projected pipeline route. Also, if you're interested in getting involved in what's going on in Naples, you can check out preserveourparadise.org. That website has the most concise information about what's happening right now in regards to the fracking. And you can also check out the Facebook group, which is Stone Crab Alliance. The River of Grass is still under wraps, so we have not gotten a lot of information about it, but let me pull something up before Tricia comes on the air with me. I have this on my other blog, which is called whodude.blogspot.com, so I'll go ahead and just read the preliminary bit on this, but this has come to the attention of the indigenous peoples, the Seminole Nation, and pulling up the blog now, so just bear with me. This is urgent action alert from the Council of the Original Miccosukee Seminole Nation Aboriginal Peoples. So this was endorsed by Bobby C. Billy. And the urgent action alert was put out on April 25th. So I'll very quickly read this. This is two posts down on hoodooed.blogspot.com. So you can look at it. There's a picture there. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Water Management District Seminole Tribe Incorporated have crossed the line, disturbing our way of life and our culture and our sacred holy grounds and sacred holy Aboriginal burial grounds at Three Forks Marsh Conservation Area in Florida. This has been going on too long. Enough is enough. We need your immediate help in stopping the desecration and destroying of our sacred holy burial grounds at Three Forks Marsh Conservation Area in Florida. Attached is our letter sent to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Water Management Districts, and Seminole Tribe Incorporated, telling them to stop the project at Three Forks Marsh Conservation Area, the mistreatment, desecration, and destroying of our sacred holy burial grounds. We ask you to write a letter telling the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Water Management Districts, and Seminole Tribe to stop this project. Please send a copy of your letter to ancienttrees@hotmail.com. I'm going to spell that out. ancientrees@hotmail.com. The direct action to stop this project, the mistreatment, desecration, and destroying of our sacred holy burial grounds, is in the planning stages. If you would like to be included in information about the direct action, please send us an email letting us know. And that is the same email address, again, ancientrees@hotmail.com. We need your help to stop this project and the help of many. Please pass this information on to those who have respect for other people's way of life, culture, and sacredness and holiness. It is our Creator-given, God-given right to live in our natural law, the way of life given to us by the Creator God at the beginning of the creation of life. So this was by the Council of the Original Miccosukee Seminole Nation Aboriginal Peoples. The contact information is there on the blog post. It's in I'll read it out. It's P.O. Box 1452, Lake Placid, Florida, 33862. Again, the email address is the same, ancienttrees@hotmail.com. And the link is there to see the full 9-page letter. So if you go to the blog post at hoodooed.blogspot.com, go to the very bottom of that post. It'll say, see the full 9-page letter by clicking here. That will take you to a Google document that you can peruse at for your information. I don't know if Trisha's with us. No, I do not see her on yet. So I'm going to play one more song. I enjoyed listening to this today. Bruce Springsteen was actually playing in Tampa, and I missed him. I'm so disappointed, but this is a great song. We're waiting, actually, for two people we've got scheduled, Trisha Springstead and Donna Knapp, who's been very instrumental in a lot of the activist work down in Naples. So they both have a lot to tell us. So here is Bruce Springsteen, High Hopes. You know these days you pay for everything. Trisha on the line with us. Trisha, you there?
I'm here.
Great. Thank you for joining us. Of course, you've probably been on the show a good five or six times or maybe even more now. I've lost count.
I think so. On this show, I've been on Feet to the Fire at the very beginning of the Gulf Oil Spill. I've been on Coast to Coast. I've been kind of all over the place.
And Freedomizer Radio.
Freedomizer, Yes, did a lot. Did one last weekend. It was actually a really, really good one that needed to be done. I know that most of the people out there, if they don't know by now, Matt Smith very early on came into the Gulf with Project Gulf Impact. And he came down. He had come down prior to the spill, fell in love with Louisiana. He had worked as an actor. He's a child actor in Los Angeles, and he went back to California. The oil spill hit, and he came back down with a group of kids from Santa Barbara and from Hollywood. Came down and walked those beaches, trying to find out what was going on. And they were walking the beaches with cell phones. They got harassed. They got harangued. They got and he really. I mean that. That kid was so instrumental in contacting me at the very beginning, Ricky Ott, and working with us and taking a lot of our workers to a lot of the people that were working in the oil spill and were affected immediately to Dr. Soto, who was at that time here in Florida, and pulling money out of his pocket to pay for their care. And,
for those of you that don't know, that was called the Gulf Coast Impact?
Yeah,
wasn't
Project
that the name
Gulf
of
Impact.
Gulf
right,
Impact.
And he did a whole blog.
He did a lot of work. And website. So he was really trying to document what had happened in the Gulf region, not just to the turtles and not just to the birds and to the marshes, but to what was really actually happening with people, too.
And he would pick up our workers and take them to a doctor that at
right.
the time we had that was treating them.
And now Matt is sick, and, of course, those of us in the know believe that, you know, his lengthy exposure to the toxins in the Gulf region is probably what's caused his illness.
He had to go to numerous doctors in order to get a diagnosis, and his diagnosis is stage 2 adrenal cancer on the adrenal gland, which sits up on top of the kidney, and it's messed into the kidney, and they can't do surgery on it. And the other thing is when he went to one of the physicians, he was talking to the nurse. And they had, then this was in, I believe it was in the San Diego area, and the nurse and confirmed to him that they had 10 first responders from the Coast Guard that were out there in that spill, out of 10 of them, ten of them, six of them were very ill, and two of them had adrenal cancer. So,
folks, just so you know, Matt Smith is a very young man. I don't even think he's out of his 20s yet. Am I right?
26. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a baby. He's a little baby. And he's suffering this horrible, horrible cancer. So he needs our prayers. He needs our help. And for anybody would like to help.
The sad thing is that Matt got a direct spray. He was out on a boat. He had gear on, even. He was out on the boat, and he got a direct spray. And he talks very openly about how, you know, they were pretty much followed the whole time, like I was followed down in the Gulf. And we now know that it was Wackenhut that was guarding the beaches. So it was paramilitary guards.
And this is another thing that people, I'm not sure everybody would know, but... This, if he got a direct spray, I'm sure that Tricia, you're referring to dispersants, not crude oil.
Correct.
This is the dispersant used to disperse the oil, actually to sink it, so the evidence would be obliterated of what BP had done, and their fines would be lessened as well. So if anybody's got any questions about any of this, please feel free. This is a call-in show to call into 213-816-0357 if you have any questions for Tricia, and or if you want to help Matt, just, you know, you can get in touch with her later through me, and we can get you in touch with Matt, because, you know, there are some online fundraising, crowdsourcing efforts to help Matt and his family, because he's dealing with a disease that's definitely going to be costing a lot of money too. So
absolutely.
So as we go on, Donna's going to be joining us, Donna Knapp, shortly. I did speak with her a little earlier. But I want you to kind of give us there's so much going on here in Florida. It's almost like Floridians are under assault, and most of the Floridians don't even know this is happening. But it's almost like the west coast of Florida is being set up as a giant sacrifice zone. And when I say
Absolutely.
The west coast, Florida, I'm also referring to the Everglades as well. So tell us about, I'll tell you what I did before you came on the air. I read the little bit of the call to action, the urgent action alert from Bobby C. Billy and the Council of the Original Miccosukee Seminole Nation. So, and I also directed people to go to that blog post and read the whole 9-page letter. So tell us a little bit about what you found out when you went down to this meeting, when it was, and what is being planned for the Everglades, not just fracking, but a lot more. So go ahead.
Well, let's backtrack a little bit. And the story, I mean, I'm a firm believer that even in the midst of the hell that we're going through with the oil spill, with the fracking, with all of the, you know, bases and nuclear and all this stuff, Anita and I met very early on in the oil spill. We go all the way back to the beginning of the oil spill. We had Dory. There's a woman named Dory Bond. Dory Bond has been. We had a business together. We've known each other for probably going on about 20 years. But very early on, Dory pretty much kind of grew up with the Billies. She lived in Fort Myers. She knew a lot of the indigenous Indian people from down there. And by indigenous, I'm saying, these are the people that these indigenous, at Bobby Billy and Leroy Osceola, the Osceola clan and the Billy clan, they didn't buy into the casinos and all that. They actually, they are the indigenous of that region. Mm-hmm. And they didn't live on the reservations. They live on the land. They hunt the land. They live on the land. They fish on the land. Bobby lived in a cheeky hut. So a lot, way back, Dory and I, Dory had been, I'd been talking to Dory about this spill and what was going on. So Dory had some really good contacts, and we contacted the indigenous tribes and of Florida and told them what was going on, and they listened to us. And then, you know, I mean, as divine order would make it, Billy came to Brooksville and spoke at a place called Green World Path. Now, Green World Path is not even involved in this crusade, so I'm not going to put them in that position. Dory was a person that took us to where we needed to go, talked to the people that we needed to connect with, and then those people came to Brooksville and spoke. When they came to Brooksville, we found out their plight. And what was going on was, you know, not only did there's a corporation we found out called AECOM. And AECOM, their tentacles are very, very deep. But anyways, at this meeting at Green World Pass, Bobby got up and he was with Shannon Larson. And it's a very interesting story. He met Shannon, and she was from Norway, and she came into his life, when Shannon first came around, he didn't speak a lot of English. He spoke the native tongue of the indigenous Seminoles, and Leroy Osceola speaks the same language. So anyways, Bobby came over to Green World Path, and he began talking about fracking, about oil drilling, about what was going on in the Everglades, what they were doing to the Everglades. And then Shannon spoke to us and told us that they were trying to build a bridge for bicycling. Now, this is really interesting. So I started doing a little bit of research on this bicycling bridge. And it turns out that it was the bridge is going to be 20 to 30 feet wide, and concrete with huge light poles. I mean light poles, and with megawatt lights. And it is the span of the bridge. And I have to get this straight. The span of the bridge, it will come from Miami. It will come from, also it will connect to, what's the name of that big lake with the locks? Lake Okeechobee?
Okeechobee. We have Donna on the line. Let me her on, too.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Hi, Donna.
Hey, hi, Anita. Hi, Tricia.
Hi.
Hi, honey.
Well,
thank you for
joining us. So we've got Yumi and Tricia, and she's telling us a little bit about the River of Grass and how we all met. I mean, all of us. I knew Tricia and I knew Dory, but I met you for the first time and Bobby C. Billy and Shannon Larson at that meeting at Green World Pass, actually. And then we went
the
out
really
for
cool
a meal.
The really cool
thing
that happened that day
was Donna on Facebook.
Was
that was kind of like a divine intervention. I had actually been up in South Dakota in 2012 and met with quite a few people up there, and then went back again and I've met with some of the people, the Lakota people up there that are fighting the KXL pipeline going through their lands. Bobby C. Billy had actually gone up there and met with some of the same people. And then Tricia told me that Bobby C. Billy was going to be speaking at Brooksville, and then that got me up there and sort of meeting all of you people, and I don't know, the rest is history.
That was quite a long haul for you to come up there as well. That was quite a, because you were Myers People's area. So that
was
pretty.
And she made it, you know. It was like, we didn't know each other. We knew each other on Facebook, but we didn't know each other. And she walked in the door of Green World Pass, and life has never been the same.
Well, that's how I feel about you, too. life is never, and never do I want it to be the same.
The good thing is we all met, you know, and we all joined under this common cause, because I think very soon after that, you guys were looking over the River of Grass project, and I remember there were some expensive brochures floating around as we were kind of mingling after that meeting at Green World Path, and then we went out for a meal, and then after that was a lot of the stuff mobilized around the fracking in Naples. So we were actually able to it was slightly after, because you had already been involved with the Naples March, which was August 31st.
May 30th of 2013 was the very first meeting when the residents of Golden Gate Estates got letters from a safety company asking them what means they had to evacuate. Did they have anybody with disabilities? Did they have a car where they could get people out in case of explosions? And that was the very first time that we became aware of Big Oil knocking on the door of the what is historically the Western Everglades, and also within 1,000 feet of residents' homes.
And
we've been having
to the Florida
many meetings.
Panther Refuge, which, you know, everybody in Florida should know that there's only about 100 of these beautiful, majestic animals left. And, you know, there's big efforts to preserve that as many as there can be, so they can breed and they can be taken off of the list of those animals that are going extinct. But
and they're becoming extinct. One male needs at least 200 acres to survive, and anything less than that, and then they start to kill each other because they fight over the females. And sadly, we've lost 14 of them already. Just last Thursday, one was hit on I-75. And, you know, the noise and the constant pounding of drilling would drive them towards 75, and there would be so many more fatalities. I don't know. I don't think they would survive this. I'm sure they wouldn't.
It's a very, very sad state of affairs. So, we have the drilling, the end. Donna, since you're down there and you've kind of got a bird's eye view of what's happening regarding the drilling, tell us a little bit about how they violated the regulations. This just happened this week, didn't it? Or the used oil?
I think it was actually, I've been away. Last week they were found actually doing fracking-like practices without being given permission. You know, this was still being looked into as to
whether... And they were using hydrochloric acid.
Yeah, and they're saying they're denying it. They said it wasn't actually, they weren't fracking, they were doing... some kind of thing to so they could open up the shale and get the sand to stay inside or something, to keep it open, and it wasn't really actually fracking, and you know, they're denying it, but it's a fracking like practice. If you pump acid and other chemicals down into Mother Earth, you know, that's fracking. And
what they were doing was exploratory, supposedly. You know,
but it was against the current regulations that they were supposed to adhere to.
They weren't supposed to,
And I would imagine, that set the wheels in motion, because now Senator Nelson is asking for an investigation into this particular incident, And he sent a letter, I think, to the DEP, if I'm not mistaken. I'm actually trying to look at an article right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to look at one, too. I thought it was the EPA, but I'm not sure. I've got the Naples Daily News here. I said I've been away, so a lot happened just in a long weekend that I was away. I can't believe it. I think it's EPA, it says
I think it's EPA as well. It was either the DEP or
which is
the EPA,
the federal level.
But Senator Nelson said, and this is a quote, "We simply cannot tolerate expanded oil drilling activities that pose a threat to the water, drinking, and surface that is so close to our Florida Everglades." And not just the Everglades, but any water. I mean, you know, now we can kind of segue into the Sable Trail natural gas pipeline because that's going to come through the Green Swamp. The Green Swamp provides drinking water for almost all of Tampa and for a very good portion of western Florida. The drinking water comes from the Green Swamp. So what are we going to do if there's a natural gas methane pipeline running through and there's an accident? What are we going to do if this pipeline goes through rural communities and these farmers don't know any better and decide they're going to continue to do their control burns on their property?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do if there's an accident and it goes into the drinking water? It destroys not only cattle but people.
I want you to go back to the Green Swamp.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember. Do you remember right after the oil spill when we were, there was a group of us that were discussing what was going on at the Green Swamp?
Oh,
yeah. What was happening, remember, in that region? All
of
a sudden,
let me state it. There's people that live close to me here in this area of Florida, very close to the Green Swamp, have been seeing black helicopters, have been seeing troop movements, have been seeing military hardware going to and from the Green Swamp. And to our knowledge, there's no military bases anywhere around here. The closest one is MacDill, and that's probably a good 55 miles away as the crow flies. And the only
now,
other...
Now, think about that, Donna. This was almost 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a little over 3 years ago that we started, people started complaining And there were helicopters, there were planes, there were sounds at night. It was scaring the crap out of the people there. But think about it, you know, here we are now, you know, the Green Swamp, we have military presence. Then in Catel, which is in Franklin County, the military is trying to go in there. Then every single time some project like this comes up, if you can backtrack and go back before all this, you can see that there's military presence.
Yeah.
Why do you think this is, Tricia?
Well, first of all, the only reason that we're doing fracking and the only reason that we're doing these tar sands projects is because we hit peak oil in the 1970s. Peak oil, you know, peak oil is when what happened was Saudi Arabia, if people really knew what all, let me tell you something. If people could open up the energy policy for the United States of America, because it's classified, most of it's classified, if we could see the energy policy, actual energy policy. Stephen Chu knew about it. All these people knew about it. They knew about it in the oil spill. They knew all about it. You would find out that we hit peak in the 1970s, which means that you've got, you know what, 9 million people on the planet. And you know, we are running out of oil reserves.
Yeah,
if
sure.
If we go into Alaska, And scientists are the government's salivating, and the oil companies are salivating to get into Alaska and drill there. Do you know that if we drill in Alaska, that the maximum amount of oil, and I have to get these facts straight, your maximum amount of oil that you're going to be able to pull out of Alaska is 19 and a half days worth of oil.
Yes.
Saudi is out of oil. Their oil reserves are almost gone. If the Saudis really knew what was going on, and this is the reason why Saudi Arabia keeps it quiet, if the Saudis really knew, they would have a revolution. And think about, you know, their biggest, I believe it was 500 billion barrels they had there. So they started running out of oil. And then we went in and started drilling for oil. Well, you know, we have a billion barrel secret out there at Julia Field. I mean, I found out about this. We've dug into hell. Think about it. Every single place I went to in this Gulf, I was surrounded by paramilitary. At that point, it was whacking hot. So, this is such a covert operation, and even I believe most of our military doesn't even know.
I'm going to tell you, as the person who's ex Air Force Intel Ops, what happens is compartmentalized. Whoever is doing a particular action in a particular area, they're only privy to that information. It's not like they see the whole picture. So we have aircraft from Stennis that are spraying the dispersants on a regular basis, not just in the Gulf. As Congressman Markey said, you know, the Gulf was carpet bombed with dispersants after the well blowout. But they were also spraying on land and directly affecting people that were not just doing the cleanup operations, but just regular citizens sitting in their yards, having a barbecue or whatever. They were getting sprayed with Corexit. So this is one group. Then there's the other group providing security for the well as it was burning, and even afterwards when they were burning the sea life. The Coast Guard was providing security for the oil company, you know, for BP, which blew my mind because I thought that there's nothing that could be more traitorous, especially to me as a veteran. And for any other veterans that are out there listening, you've got a branch of the military that's providing security for a corporation.
Yeah.
And now we know that the Gulf Wars and the Gulf Wars, and not just the wars but the occupations, were all for oil, because these young men and women came back and said, we weren't doing anything except guarding corporate interests.
They were guarding oil fields in Iraq.
Yeah.
In Kuwait.
That's all they were doing.
They were guarding, their oil.
Now we have
every country we ever went into is because of oil. I mean, we never went to Tibet to help the Tibetans when all that was happening because, oh, no, there wasn't anything to be had there for us. And you think about it, we always go and help out countries that have oil.
Not just oil. Right now, it's oil here in the United States because we want to make our country is hell-bent on making themselves energy independent.
The number one energy dependent in the world.
Natural gas, coal, oil, whatever they can get.
Nuclear.
They're blowing up mountains in West Virginia. They're doing the KXL pipeline to move the Bakken oil out of the extreme northern Midwest and Canada. They're going to have point refineries, which are wherever these pipelines are going to end up. And now it's liquid natural gas, which is going to go through farmland, and the land that's affected will be taken through eminent domain. So these people that own land are going to lose it. So anybody out there that's listening that says Agenda 21 is a conspiracy theory, well, I'm here to tell you it's not, because they're going to take these people's land. It's already been happening.
It's already been happening in other parts of the country. I've met people where it's happened to. Up in South Dakota, there's now a cowboy and Indian alliance because, you know, both parties are suffering from eminent domain as TransCanada, a foreign company, is able to come in and take people's land, offer them a pittance. And if they refuse it, well, they will have their land taken anyway. One man that I know actually went to court a few days ago in a little place called Winner. And no, there's no money there in this town. It's just a little farming town actually on a reservation. And he's looking at losing his farm, basically. When they put that pipeline through, he will have his whole ranch split in half and will only be able to use part of it because he won't be able to drive his cattle across where the pipe goes because of the heat that comes up.
Yeah, and now so, they're uncovering this whole Clive Bundy thing out in Nevada, which doesn't really have anything to do with natural resources, except now they're finding out that this whole section of the road was developed with highways because they're going to make a business loop out of it. And Clive Bundy's land is just part of that loop, and they're going to develop it commercially. So that's exactly what's going to happen. That's why they wanted him off of there, and that's why they kicked 52 other ranchers out of the area.
Well, and the
so
other thing
there's more to the
that,
story
that I think Florida and, does not understand is,
yeah.
is that right now, I know 2 years ago there was a lot of commotion going on right here in Crystal River, and
right.
it was about the feds coming in and being able to take a certain amount of waterway and be in charge of it. And
right.
I know local people that were fighting it, but by the time they started to fight it, the feds got the rights to patrol and control the waterway. I believe it's 10 miles out. And the goal is to control the beaches. 10 miles out, but also to control the inland waterways up to, and don't quote me, but I believe 20 miles in. So if you look at maps, you know, take a look at your maps and see that, you know, that the other thing that's going on and the other thing that I pulled up when I went down, it was Bobby and Shannon really needed some support. They needed somebody that kind of understood what was going on, and they asked me to go down and you know, I'm saying I went down. There were other people. I do not want to put their names in here because, you know, they have jobs and I don't really care, you know, about, yeah, I mean, I can get a job. I'm not worried about that. But there are people that have jobs that helped us and that went down with us, and I'm not going to name any names, but I'm going to put the ownership on me. Anyways, we went down. It was on November 14th of 2013, and I went to. It was a meeting, and it was down in the Everglades, and it was a group of people that were. It was AECOM and SWFMUD, Southern Water Management District. SWFMUD and AECOM in conjunction on November 22nd. It was November the 14th I met Bobby and Shannon. That's when I met you for the first time, Donna. And then
that's
Bobby
right.
talked,
yeah.
And then, you know, he talked about, the, you know, this big elephant in the room that was going on down there and that they were trying to frack the area. They were also trying to build a 75-mile bridge. That 75-mile bridge would connect Okeechobee, Miami, and the Everglades. And it would run down, I believe it would, the end point was running down through the Keys. So, and it was going right over the Everglades. And so I started doing a lot of research on this and looking at it, and it's called the River of Grass Project. So I go to this workshop, and it was, first of all, we were not even invited to the morning session. So I walked in, and, I mean, if you know me, and you know me, Anita, you know, I've got ears, but I walked into this meeting and they, all these guys in suits and ties and they were pushing this agenda were over on the side of the room and my ears perked up and I was listening to what they were saying. And they were talking about, well, you know, where are they going to have the parking lots for the trucks? Where are they going to put all the ATVs? And they're going to need, you know, and they're going to need the, and And also in that building was not only AECOM Swift Mud, the Department of the Interior was in that building. And so, you know, I sat there for a little while, and I had been really nosy, heard their things and what they were talking about, and sat down, and they just went right into their agenda. And I raised my hand, and I asked three questions. And the questions were, who is funding this project, who will maintain this project, and who profits? If you ask those three questions at the beginning of any meeting, and they do not answer you, then they're hiding something. It went on, and it went on, and Bobby, and then Leroy Osceola came in, his clan came in, Bobby and Shannon were there, and Bobby, you know, Bobby just says, you know, you're killing our mother. You're killing your mother. And, you know, these people, they didn't realize that they had one of the most spiritual Indian guides in the state of Florida in their presence.
Yeah.
And that this guy, and before that we had put out a petition. Remember that, Donna?
Yes, yes.
That was, yeah, that was the petition that we have to be caretakers of Mother Earth. We
yes,
had put out the caretakers.
Face Spotted Eagle, from South Dakota. Chief Orville Looking Horse, actually, which I just met him recently again, and with Bobby C. Billy as well, and I think there were others, but those are the main three.
I think they got a lot more. And we had been putting out that petition, and we were garnering, even before I went to this meeting, we were getting probably about, 100, 200, then it turned into 500 signatures a day on that. And so anyways, you know, I just listened to these people go on and on and on. And then a woman looked at me and said, I said, where is the funding coming from? And this woman looked at me and she said, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. We've got the funding. It's a done deal.
Wow.
And then I sat there and I listened a little longer and and a child, one of the Osceola clan spoke up and he said, why would you build a 75-mile bridge when you really need to go over to Clewiston and the sugar plants and clean up that mess because you've poisoned our fish already with mercury? And when he said that, I mean, I was like, oh, my God, this is really a kid that knows what he's talking about.
Right.
And then yet again, it just told me how our food and our waters are being destroyed by the chemical and oil and all these corporations, and they really don't care about the people but over their profits. And, you know, I mean, I can absolutely guarantee you that a 75-mile bridge for biking and pedestrian use doesn't require a 60-mile-an-hour. That was one of the shots they flashed by. 60 miles an hour? I don't know anybody that bicycles 60 miles an hour. A 60-mile-an-hour speed limit, nor does it really require a 14- to 16-foot roadway. And
right.
I kept sitting through that and listening, Bobby, time and time again, Shannon. You know, their honest warnings were being passed off like they were a bunch of crackpots. And when I introduced when I introduced myself at the very beginning, I don't have any problem with saying, my name is Tricia Springstead. I'm an RN. I'm an independent biologist. And every head in the room turned. And, like, who is that? And I'm sure, you know, when the Osceola clan came in, they wanted to know who that was, too. So, you know, I guess they figured out I was okay. But anyways, I just kept going through it, and I just kept listening to it and listening to it, and I just kept getting more frustrated. I watched their presentation, and it was all about, I mean, when I started looking at the maps, they're trying to ramrod this over sacred burial grounds. They're trying to ramrod this, you know, Bobby Billy, he doesn't live in a hut. He doesn't live in a house. He lives in a cheeky hut. These people live on the land. And so when Leroy Osceola began asking them, you know, why weren't we told about this? You know, I mean, you killed us off. You killed our tribes off how many years ago? You want to do it again? I mean, he was blatantly open.
There's only 50 of them. I met Leroy many years ago, and there's only 50, and he was telling us about the mercury in the water, and now they want to do this, you know,
kill
a person's culture. Such little
what it boils down to is, what do you all think this road will be used for?
I can tell you exactly what it's for.
Okay.
I saw the presentation. I looked at it. I saw where the oil fields were. I saw where they were going to be fracking. And I also saw where they're trying to build a nuclear power plant.
Exactly. They are trying to build one. And that's what I think their main thing is for as well.
And the people, the people that are pushing this agenda, AECOM, won, listen to this, they won a safety award for how well they handled the Gulf of Mexico oil spill.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, that's right.
They're a multinational corporation, and they are all over the world. They are funding our war. They are watching our wars. They are everywhere. Anytime, I mean, and they oversee the Army Corps of Engineers. They oversee our jails. They are multinational.
Tell people how they can find them online. They have a website. I'm not sure how much information that website.
You can just Google them and find them quite easily, actually.
Yeah, Google AECOM and the Gulf oil spill, and it'll tell you everything.
Yeah.
And what they do is government logistics and operations and maintenance. They do global operations and maintenance in Iraq. They do operations and maintenance in geothermal and nuclear are our shadow military, and they are our shadow government, and they are shadow. They're not even a shadow to me anymore. They are, as far as I'm concerned, the whole corporation is criminal. And they get everything, you name it. If somebody wants to build a bridge, they get it. And so when I got out of the meeting, I'll finish this one up and then we can go on. But before I'd had it, and I had listened to this, and I finally stood up and I said, I've had enough. We've got Fukushima and nuclear coming up the Pacific. You have poured genocidal chemicals up and down the coast of our Gulf. I have people that are sick up and down this Gulf. You have a mess that you haven't cleaned up, and fix it and stop building more.
Yeah.
And they shut down the meeting, and I walked out the back door.
We have to ultimately ask, too, is the end design, the end game, is ecocide and genocide. Am I correct?
To me it is.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I don't want to keep going. I don't want to throw those words out, but it is, you know. You know, Firstly Nation people live out there, and they just plan. They just do whatever they want. They just plan to run right over them, their sacred lands, their burial sites, their ceremonial sites, their hunting grounds, people's homes, not to mention endangered species, native flora, you know, and fauna. And it's all foolhardy. And it's because, and let me tell you, we wouldn't be doing fracking. We wouldn't be doing all this fracking and tar sands if we hadn't hit peak oil in the 70s.
Yeah, because it's almost like these are desperate moves to
absolutely
not just to rape the land of everything that's in there that can provide energy, but it's being done so quickly. It's being done so secretly. Behind closed doors, and all Florida ever talks about is, oh, the sunshine law, the government has to be out in the open. People need to have a say. Well, people haven't had a say in any of this.
You know what, Donna,
I don't know about you and Anita,
I never heard of fracking.
I never heard of fracking until, I don't know, few years ago maybe, and then all of a sudden it's right there. And for a while I didn't realize what it was. You know, here, oh, natural gas. Well, it's not really quite so natural, is it? When they have to pump thousands of chemicals down into Mother Earth and down into our water. And then really, to me, that's what it all boils down to. And I think it's a genocide of all people. And it doesn't matter what our race or our color, our creed, it's a genocide of all people. And a poisoning of our water. And then the next thing, after they've poisoned our water, they'll start desalinization, and then they'll start selling our water back to us again. And the only ones that will be able to drink are the ones that can afford it. And water will become treated like a resource to be made money from and profited from as well. And, you know, enough is enough of all of this stuff. And I'm so glad that everybody, we're all standing together. It doesn't matter where we come from, and we're all getting on the same page as this. And I feel that the indigenous ones are leading the way with this. They still remember their connection with Mother Earth, and many, many others have forgotten. And I really,
you know, I think everybody,
indigenous people everywhere, because
everybody
of the way they
should
are.
Spend a day in a workshop. I mean, truly listening to Bobby Billy and Shannon,
yes, absolutely,
and Donna, and you know, really, I mean, you know, I am so, because, you know, his plight is the plight of all of ours.
Yes.
And the same thing with the Lakotas, and the same thing, you know, the thing is, the bottom line, if we really looked up who owned that land, it's the indigenous Miccosukee and Seminole.
Yeah,
they
right.
Our government doesn't own that land. They own that land. And I have the paperwork to prove it. And the sad thing is that they didn't even take a look at that paperwork. So what they're doing is not only in violation of every law of Mother Earth, they are in violation of every law since they took over America.
Yes.
And they named
I just wanted to put out a call. If anybody's got any questions for either Tricia or Donna, give us a call at 213-816-0357. You can ask them your questions directly. So I just wanted to put that out there. I don't know how many people are listening. I regret that we were not able to get the chat going. So you can also email me the questions, and I'll read them live. So you can just send the email to Anita Stewart, A-N-I-T-A-S-T-E-W-A-R-T, @gmail.com. And under that same nick, Anita Stewart, I'm on Skype. So if I see you on Skype, I'll definitely accept your friend request if you're going to post a question to me. So with that, all that said, we understand the situation that's south of us. But we also have this Sable Trail pipeline, which is extremely dangerous. We had the lady on last week, Beth Gordon, who is an attorney, but she's not the attorney for the group. This is a multi-state group with members in Alabama, Georgia, and Florida called Spectra Busters. So the company that they're fighting that's going to be building this pipeline is Spectra. So they're the Spectra Busters. So you can find that website online, spectrabusters.org. Tons of info, the latest info. Beth Gordon is the one who's the president of Spectra Busters right now, and she is the attorney. She's directly affected. Her ranch will either have the pipeline going through it or contiguous to it. She has children. She has the ranch with, of course, farm animals on there. And she created her dream home there. And this is up in Levy County. And now she's faced with, you know, if this pipeline goes through, there's no way she can sell her property. There's no way she can get any value for her property if she decided to leave. The farmers around her insist that they're going to continue to do their controlled burns, even though there's going to be methane in these pipes. There's wildlife preserve out in that area. I mean, anybody who's been up to Levy County knows how beautiful it is.
It is. And the other thing is, I'm right, you know, I'm in Crystal River. And that's right in Citrus County, and they're bringing it right through here. And, you know,
these are counties directly north of the Tampa Bay Metro. So we're talking about Citrus, Levy, I think
Marion
County, Hope, and this is going to go, I'm not sure if it's going to go, it is going to go into Orange, I believe, because the end of this section of the pipeline is supposed to end south of Orlando. And then at that point,
bottom line, look at a map. We've already laid pipe out of
the
Caribbean.
The maps are all on. So anybody that's curious about where this is going to go, and the media is not talking about it, and they should be talking about it. I did get Craig Pittman to mention it the other day when he was live on WMNF with Rob Lori on the Radioactivity Show, and I actually emailed Rob the question, and he posed it to Craig Pittman live on the air about what Craig knew about the, you know, Sable Trail pipeline. We also have, Craig Pittman did say he was going to cover it, but we also do have a group on Facebook, which is a multi-state group. It's called Stop the Sable Trail Pipeline. So if you put that into a Facebook search, you should pull that up. And if you want to become a member, just click join and I'll approve you. So
this is for any information
having to do with the Sable Trail Pipeline coming through any of these three states, Alabama, Georgia, or Florida.
The other group that I'm a member of and I love, first of all, we have another group. It's called Defending Florida, and they pick up a lot of these stories and Real Coastal Warriors.
Oh, that's a great one.
If you are not a member of Real Coastal Warriors, you need to get on, because these people don't get paid, but I'm telling you, they pick up every story. And right now, right before I got on the air, we found out that 60 Minutes is going to be doing a poor, poor, pitiful BP session tomorrow night on 60 Minutes on how BP feels they're so upset because they got so ripped off. They don't even talk about, you know, the people that are sick. I mean, we have to go to Al Jazeera English, and we have to go to Truth Out to get the stories out there on the illnesses. And English. So what we've been doing is we've been manning that BP site for the 60 Minutes tomorrow night, and telling them and sending them articles and photos and everything exactly what's going on. But you know what? We wouldn't even be talking about natural gas, and which is totally unnatural. We wouldn't be talking about fracking if we had oil reserves, and we don't. And the problem is, Carter told us, he warned us, we got to stop this. We don't have the energy. And so what do? They go to dirty energy.
Yeah.
And dirty energy that nobody had ever heard of. And the bottom line is, there are solutions out there.
What about the Balkan shale? I mean, there's up in North Dakota. I'm not sure. I thought it was my understanding there is plenty of oil there to keep us going. Sweet oil.
I don't know about that region. I do know that I've looked into what we have, what they have in Iraq, what they have in, what they're trying to open up in Iraq, what they have in the agenda with Clinton in 2012 is she went to the Ukraine, and she started pushing shale on them. And I have the article on that, actually. But the bottom line is, they're energy suckers. They're energy vampires.
Yeah.
We could be doing... We should have gone to solar. We should have gone to wind. We should have gone,
we can use hemp oil. Henry Ford's first car was designed to run on hemp oil. Also, the body was built out of hemp plastic, which is completely biodegradable. So no more, landfills with nasty stuff in it. But it was only because of one of the Rockefellers that in government that they had hemp outlawed. But Henry Ford's car was meant to run on hemp. And we
could be doing so much. And the other thing is about J2.
And the other thing is with the hemp, also with the threat of Fukushima and radiation coming across, because it's already hit our West Coast, hemp actually neutralizes radiation. So they should be planting hemp, and I'm talking about industrial hemp, not the kind with THC that can get you high, but industrial hemp. So there's a difference.
There's mushrooms, too, that can absorb that.
The government doesn't have to worry about that. But it can neutralize the radiation as well. So I'm sorry.
And the other one, there's a guy.
A little bit of a plug-in for hemp there.
That's great.
As a really,
there's also
very good,
a guy on Facebook that has a site, and it's BioRoot Energy. And they can take trash and turn it to clean alcohol fuel. No methane. You know, if people have not read the latest article that came out in Tom's Dispatch, and it was written by Dar Jamal, I'm telling you, that guy, he needs to get a Peabody Award for the work that he has done, not only on the oil spill, but also what's been going on in Iraq, and also, you know, our energy problems. But he wrote an article, and it said, the name of the article is, have we hit the climate precipice? And, you know, there are scientists that are out there that are screaming and trying to tell people that if we don't stop, and I mean soon, that we may not have another 20 years.
Yeah.
This planet may not have another 20 years. And our children might not have another 20 years. Now, that sounds alarmist as hell. But I went out there and I read the research. I read every link, every piece of research I could find. I went over to Guy McPherson's site. He's brilliant. Guy McPherson, a lot of these, Ira Leffer from Santa Barbara, I love this man. You know, I mean, I knew these guys. I know a lot of these people. And they've been screaming about this for years. And there's not a lot of time. And we keep playing around like we've got another 100 years.
Yeah.
And it's frightening, you know? And what do we keep doing? We keep going to war.
It needs to be a concerted effort by all governments. Now, I have some friends that just, I think they're still in Germany, but they should be on their way back. They were born in Germany, grew up in Germany, military brats, you know, so they go back and visit that part of their family. And recently one of them posted, I think it was just this week, she said, everything about what they're doing over there is sustainable. There they are in Germany where solar power is just, like, so normal to be used. Everybody's growing food gardens in their lawns. They have no lawn. It's a food garden. Everything, you wouldn't think of, like, going anywhere and seeing trash in the street, not even a cigarette butt. That was one of the things I noticed when I traveled through Germany. Everything's so neat. And this was before, you know, the environment was, like, a big topic of conversation. This is back in the early 80s. So they have really developed a sustainable lifestyle, and a lot of portions of England are the same way, and so many more. But if we all were doing the same things, that would help. But, you know, there's other people that are pretty high up in the environmental movement that have done their research and written their books, and one of them is Derek Jensen. And he made a comment, and I think it was in his End Game book. So anybody that wants to can check out The End Game by Derek Jensen. He said 90% of the pollution is caused by the corporations. Uh-huh. So it's not enough for you or me or anybody else to just ride a bike to work instead of taking the car, or, you know, eating stuff local instead of going to a restaurant. It would be a drastic change in our lifestyle, in the Industrial Revolution that happened how long ago. We would have to go actually back in time.
Well, and that's, you know, that was the problem, was that while we were off fighting World War II, the women were you know, I look back at my grandmother. My grandmother worked as a welder in the war.
Yeah.
We were building the Industrial Revolution when our men were off fighting war. And then they come back to industry, and then industry just got totally out of control. And ever since the Industrial Revolution, I mean, then now we've outsourced our industries, and so they've left behind, what, the pollution? I mean,
yeah.
You go anywhere. They have left so much pollution behind. Monsanto has a factory in Anniston, Alabama. It's killing people. They had a factory. They just abandoned it. We don't make them responsible for cleaning up their mess. You know,
yeah.
Then we had Kodak, you know, dumping stuff in New York, in one of the rivers in New York. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And it's like we've been running around like a bunch of drunken energy sailors.
And
I'm telling you,
we can't do it anymore. We
can't
forget West Virginia, which has lost almost all of its mountaintops as they've blown the mountains, mountaintop removal, to get to the coal. But now after this spill of dangerous coal-cleaning chemical in the capital city of West Virginia, there's still close to 500,000 people there that won't even chance drinking their tap water. Because
everybody knows it's
tainted. There's been no cleanup.
Yeah.
The shit didn't go away. It's still there.
BP had a refinery spill
in
Lake Michigan. Refinery spill. And in 2 weeks,
Enbridge.
Nobody's even talking about it. They're out there with rakes now. I mean, come on. It's like they are drunk with power. They're drunk on energy. And it's got to stop.
We're talking about oil like this is the only commodity, but then we can look at, you had made the comment, Donna, a little bit earlier about, you know, what we're fighting the wars for and how everything pretty much is a racket. And anybody can go and read that piece of writing, which I think is amazing, War is a Racket by General Smedley Butler. This was a general from back in the early 1900s that really got the whole corporatist thing right off the bat and wrote about it, that's what the military was for, was to protect the United States corporate interests.
Yes.
It's very, very obvious. But we've got, like, you know, other war theaters, wars and occupations, and if we don't have troops there, we've got people that are on the down low there stirring up trouble. But we're talking about AFRICOM, where gold is being mined, silver is being mined, diamonds are being mined. And not just all of that, but conflict minerals, like the lithium that goes in our computers and our phones.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, for an ideal world, we'd really have to give up a lot of these things, but I think we're going to have to anyway. So,
well, you know,
sooner
we have
or later,
to,
it's going to come to it.
Just take a glance at the American Petroleum Institute and look at what oil is. It's in everything. Every tire is 7 gallons of oil. What do we do? You know, there's patents.
What do we do? We can't point the finger all the time at others, you know.
Right. There's patents on non-rubber tires, lifetime tires. What do you think they did with those? They shelved them. They bought them and shelved them. You know, I have a patent owner.
Hey, what about poor Tesla?
I know, man. Poor Nicholas, you know? I mean, J.P. Morgan was right there saying, well, don't want it because I can't find the box, the meter. Where's the meter? You know, I mean, Tesla knew what he was doing. But, you know, then they use that energy. You know, they're trying to use Tesla's energy to the negative, you know, and creating, you know, electromagnetic high beam frequency blow up people shit. I mean,
it's,
I don't
it's,
get
it's,
it.
Uh, predator kind of energy that seems to have its grips on Mother Earth, that I think it's had its grips on Mother Earth for quite some time now. But it feels like it's getting worse. But what I think is because people are waking up to what's going on. More people are waking up. They're waking up to the fact about, hey, what's this stuff in our water called fluoride? And it was used by Hitler in the Second World War to dumb down the prisoners. Wow, well, what's it doing in our water supply then? You know,
yeah,
and people are waking up to these
things. It's the same chemical component as, what's that drug, that psychiatric drug?
Oh, yes,
Prozac.
It's
Prozac. Same chemical component as Prozac.
Prozac,
and
that's right.
But you know
imagine
what?
I'm running into
kids. And I call them kids because I'm an old lady. I'm 58.
Yeah.
And I'm calling these people kids, but I'm meeting these kids that are in their 20s, early 30s, and they get it.
Well,
they're
my
like,
son told me that when he was 15, I think, 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
He told me about the fluoride thing and how Hitler used it in the Second World War to dumb down the prisoners.
And these kids are talking to me about, hey, we're prepping. You know, that we're going to have, you know, bottom line is we're going to insulate our houses. We're going to, you know, I don't buy anything anymore if it's going to be electric. You know, it's going to be gravity. I have a gravity water filtration system. And you know, if it's electric, I don't want it. I'm looking now at a solar bread maker and oven.
I know.
Because
I'm looking around, too. I know it's a really good store up in Minnesota where you can get all kinds of, you know, old tools, like old carpentry tools,
right.
Or, you know, not power tools anymore, but, the way my grandfather made things with, you know, sewing machines, treadle sewing machines, and anything that doesn't use power. And actually, that's a really good gauge to sort of see how things are going in the world. I was actually out looking for treadle sewing machines and found out that they're becoming, actually, people are buying them up. They're becoming quite rare and getting actually more and more expensive because of that. And
well, you know,
to me,
and
I think
these,
to myself,
these
I
kids
wonder
are all paranoid.
Why, you know?
These kids are all paranoid. And they said, don't tell anybody where we know about it. And I'm like, honey, you ain't alone. There's a lot of people that
know,
are prepping and trying to figure this out. And is there a cell phone in the room? Because we don't want anybody to hear us. I'm like, you know what,
I'll
guys?
Let them hear us.
I know, it's hilarious. Scream it from the rooftop.
Yeah, like they can hear us already.
It's really funny.
They mine our minds.
Yeah. There are some great, great minds coming up. And we need to nurture those minds and listen to them. They talk to me about Agenda 21. They talk to me about it. I'm like, why did you guys figure this out? And they said, we learned about it when we were teenagers. I'm like, wow, you know. So, you know, there's some good things going on out there, but it's going to take, you know, I have really, really been reading Guy McPherson's work, Nature Bats Last, which is a great website and a blog. And I've really, really been doing a lot of reading. And the other person is Michael Rupert, who just recently committed suicide. And I have been going over and over and over his work. And I mean, this guy, he did Matt Simmons. Matt Simmons, if you don't know anything about peak oil, Matt Simmons, very early on in the oil spill, was found face down dead in his hot tub. Matt Simmons was
hot.
Oh, I remember.
On an island
off
the coast of Maine, which, I'm firmly convinced that didn't happen by accident. I'm sorry.
Oh, there was Matt Simmons, Thomas Manton. I mean, we were losing. But Matt Simmons
was a hit.
That was definitely a hit. Matt Simmons was on CBS, NBC. Matt Simmons was the advisor, the energy advisor to George W. Bush.
Right.
Matt Simmons told Bush about peak oil years ago. And he told the Clinton administration. They knew it. If we knew what was in our energy policy, we'd be getting out the guillotines.
Yeah.
Because, these guys have been pushing this agenda for so long that now it's, you know, through the work of Matt Simmons, through the work of, you know, through the work of many brilliant people, it's all coming to, the truth is coming out. But people need to research peak oil and understand this is a game. This is a big, nasty, ugly game that they're playing. If we can just enlighten 100 people to enlighten 100 people to enlighten 100 people to enlighten another 100 people, there will be a wave. And people are getting it. You're right, Donna. That's why we're having chaos.
Yeah,
right.
We're coming into a what I call like a spiritual evolution, or an evolution of our consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And we are, I believe, you know, we're the ones we've been waiting for.
Yes, I know.
We've been waiting for these teachers.
We are the seventh generation, and all of those prophecies are here now. We're in the time of prophecy.
Mm-hmm. And when Michael committed suicide. He was on a reservation, and he left.
Oh my gosh.
His theory of his passing was that he was happy, right where he was. He was at that pinnacle of peace, and it was time for he had fought so many wars and so many battles in so many places, and started out as a cop. His dad was CIA. Just long story, but anyways.
And people can see that or can listen to that show because I have it several weeks back with Sherry Roberts, who wrote about Michael Rupert and his last days. She put together a very evocative beautiful and bittersweet piece to convince, because, of course, a lot of people refused to believe that Michael committed suicide. They thought conspiracy theories, somebody did him in, yada, yada. But Sherry Roberts definitely put all of that to rest, and so did Carolyn Baker.
Cynthia McKinney did, too.
Yeah, who has taken over Michael Rupert's radio show, The Lifeboat Hour. So
the thing that he said in his notes was, I leave for the children. I love the two-leggeds, the four-leggeds, the rock people, you know? I mean, I sacrifice for the children. Mm-hmm. And when he was at peace, you know, and I'm not saying I'd do it. There ain't no way. And I'm not condoning suicide at all. But, you know, people get on there and say he was crazy and he was this and he was that. Well, sure, he might have been a little crazy, but, you know, he'd had it. He said everything he needed to say. He couldn't say anymore. He was tired. And he was ready to go. And he had said before that he was ready to go. And,
made his peace. And he made sure that his dog was taken care of. Even in the last plans of his suicide, being an ex-cop and everything, he set everything up, like let the cops go in, let the police go into the trailer first, go in and walk around. You know, he made it so it would be the police would go in first and they wouldn't have to treat it like a crime scene. His friend under suspicion. So he made sure his dog was secured and there was a note with his dog so the police wouldn't shoot his dog. And he made arrangements for the dog's care as well. So all of this was taken care of and very logically thought out, even though I can't help but think, if someone's going to do themselves in, how is that logical? In my mind, I'm saying that.
I know. And some people say he was depressed, too.
Isn't that the most selfish way to go? You know, it's something that I would tend to think. But then, you know, if he was ready to go, who are we to judge that?
Right.
Right, right. And just like, you know, fighting a disease or cancer or something, and and maybe just getting tired of fighting that disease. You know, he was probably tired of fighting this fight and just
carrying the world on his shoulders and knowing what he knew.
Yeah.
I asked on the show when I had Carolyn Baker, who probably knew him best, I asked her, like I said, the show I think is about 3 to 4 weeks ago, so you can go to the archives and listen. But I asked her, do you think that it was just the burden of him knowing so much that he was overburdened with it all and just couldn't take anymore? You know, and she really didn't have an answer for that. She said, you know, that's part of it. Probably part of it, but there was a lot more too, you know, and she was privy to his, she was a good friend to him and was privy to a lot of his inner workings
his
and knew him well. So
the night before he died, and I listened to Guy McPherson, Dr. Guy McPherson, he did a tribute to him at his memorial. Dr. Mm-hmm. Guy McPherson read his words, and he called McPherson the night before and just wanted to know how he was doing, you know, didn't really say anything and told him he loved him, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, no matter what his intentions were, his work speaks for it. His work speaks for him, and I think that everybody should really, if you get a moment to find the movie, and it's right on YouTube, Collapse. Where
right.
he talks about the end of PQL, then it makes so much sense why we're doing all these tar sands, why we're doing all this stuff. He gives you facts and figures as to what's going on, about the military, about everything that's been going on. He predicted all this years ago. And this is
and
a guy
you know,
who
the other book was Crossing the Rubicon, and I remember
I read
reading
that
book, and I mentioned it in
book.
A show that I did with Carolyn and Sherry. Crossing the Rubicon was a pivotal book for me because it was all the stuff that I had already been researching in regards to 9/11 and why we went to war to begin with Iran and Afghanistan, or Iraq and Afghanistan. And the book was in the car of my colleague who I worked with on the Kucinich campaign, and we did this crazy straight driving through trip from Atlanta all the way to New Hampshire for the Democratic primary. So this was in January, very beginning of January 2008. And we were racing, and it happened to be some of the coldest days of the year. I didn't have a coat. And I remember being stuck in this truck, and we were just driving at breakneck speed so we could get to where we needed to go, Manchester, New Hampshire. And the book was in the truck. So it was one of those books that I could pick up, kind of like a book you have in your bathroom, if that makes any mm-hmm. sense. You can pick the book up and you can open it up to any page and just start reading. And that's the way this book was. This book was pivotal in opening up the floodgate to what we Americans pretty much know now about 9/11, that it was an inside job. I really tend to believe that most Americans
believe
that.
Well, yeah, you can just keep taking 9/11, go all the way back to Iraq, oil. Go all the way back,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he was telling us exactly what was going on. And, you know, somebody asked him a question one time and said, well, why don't you just walk away? And my saying, I've had people say this to me too. Why don't you just walk away? How do I unknow what I know?
You can't.
How do I stop and go and crawl in a cave and ignore what's going on and unknow what I can't unknow what I know?
How can you stop caring? How can you stop loving?
I can't
Mother
stop
Earth?
Loving.
Can you can't. You can't.
You know,
can't
and
stop loving.
And somebody was really giving me a ration of shit the other day about unconditional love. And I said, you know what? Don't even talk to me about what you perceive my intention of love to be. I may come off as a loudmouth, but people don't see me when I sit behind a computer and look at my friends getting flooded out of their homes after an oil spill. They don't know. They don't know what I feel when I see the desecration of my water. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
With love also comes being a warrior. You know, so don't question my attitude of love, you know, or my love. You know, I can't just go out there and say, oh, everything is perfect. You know, well, I can see that in my mind's eye that everything could be perfect.
The American dream or everything.
Yeah,
perfect.
The American dream ain't my dream of perfection. But you know what? Go out there and just love unconditionally. Well, you know what? That's a work. That's a job. And I'm not ready to go out there or to turn around and walk away from a cause that I've been fighting probably since college, but mainly in the last 4 years. And I'm not going to shut up. And I'm going to say exactly what I think. And if people don't think that's love, I mean, I have people that are very sick, and I'm concerned, you know. And if I come off as a loudmouth bitch, well, you know what? I'm still a loving loudmouth bitch. And I'm getting to the point where I don't have to explain myself to anybody anymore. You know, but that's going to be my final explanation of who Tricia is. And I'm okay.
We are women of a certain age. Go ahead, Donna.
No, I was just going to say, if you have to explain yourself to someone and explain your actions, then really, you know, I wouldn't want to be around that kind of a person anyway. You certainly don't have to explain yourself to us.
We see your heart.
You've both seen
my tears. I've seen yours.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's we've cried buckets of tears. And we are the ones we've been waiting for. And we are warriors. And that's why we have to stick together, you know. And you know, in the middle of all this oil spill, I began seeing a lot of egos come out. Oh, look what I did. Or look at the research I did. But you know what? It's not about that. If you have information, you need to share it.
Yeah, it's about us.
It has nothing to do with me.
I have got to say that I have met some of the most incredible people, and if anything, and I've said this on this show before, that in spite of the horrible situations happening to our state and indeed our country, the relationships and the friends and the people that I have made throughout this whole time frame have really made me feel like I'm part of a unification of this whole region of people that are working so hard to stop the powers that be from what they're doing. And I really, you know, thank the goddess for those relationships, because otherwise I never would have met you. I never would have met you, Donna. I wouldn't have known you all, you know. And this was just an amazing thing to draw people together. So I really believe, in spite of the negative things that happened and the all of these, not just negatives but treacherous things, good comes out of it.
Who would have thought there would be a cowboy and alliance
in
DC, and in Washington with teepees
in front of the White House.
The cowboys and
it's
Indians,
not over a football
and
game, and it's not
they're
exchange
allies
of blankets and money.
Indian alliance.
Is the power of love will overcome all of this, and we all come together in this way. That's what I believe, and not believe, because believing is something that, I have faith in it. But I know that the power of love and all of us coming together in unity and solidarity were one common thing, Mother Earth, and you know, our goodness would prevail. And I really agree with what you're saying, Anita, you know, how it's brought us all together. And in spite of all the negative things, look what else has happened. You know, here we are all together.
How many times us old ladies, and I call us old ladies because we are the kind of the matriarch.
Elders.
We're becoming the elders. But I always say.
Becoming elders, okay.
Yes, they shall know us by our skin knees. Because we keep falling down and getting back up. We fall down and we get back up. And every time I get back up, I'm stronger. And I'm more enlightened. And so, you know, I mean, there was a time, you know, in the last year that I was so depressed that I didn't think I was ever going to get out of it. And then all of a sudden, one day I woke up and I said, you know what? I'm going to go take a shower. I'm going to get out here. I'm going to go take back my power. And I went out and I started taking back my power. And I'm telling you, it feels great because now I'm attracting like-minded people. It's magical. And we talk. I mean, I can't endure bullshit anymore. I can't just talk daily bullshit, you know.
Right.
It doesn't work for me. I can't talk about, you know, what kind of car you got. I don't really care. I mean, I feel guilty driving one. But, you know, the thing is, I just can't talk at that level anymore because I'm, you know, we're all getting into a higher consciousness. And we see the problems, but we also see the solutions, but we also can recognize the good in all this.
Right.
And the good is right here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a wonderful symmetry, and that's what I think has happened in the Gulf region, and I, for one, am definitely grateful for it. So, and I just believe that somewhere in some past lives, we all knew each other and worked on something similar. Who knows what that would have been, but there has to be some very strong connections there.
The other thing is speaking truth to power.
Right.
Because I've learned nothing intimidates me anymore.
No.
I don't care who they are. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think, you know. And we speak truth to power, and we keep speaking truth to power, and pretty soon they have no power.
We use their power.
Yeah. Even if it's a news program. You know, I mean, news program coming out tomorrow night.
Or some rich family that owns your town, you know.
That's right.
No names mentioned there, but, you know.
And the thing is that I've also seen on the other side of the aspect, I'm sure Donna, Anita, you've seen this. I've seen a lot of, you look at somebody that's supposed to be in your best interest, an official, and you'll say to them, how do you feel, what are you going to tell your grandchildren or your children? Don't you care about them? And if they can look you straight in the face and say no, there's something wrong.
Well, this family looked me straight in the face, and they didn't say a darn thing. They just had this look in their eyes like they didn't even understand. It was kind of robotic looking.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they weren't even on that level of understanding. What legacy will you leave your grandchildren?
Yeah, that's called cognitive dissonance. That's just like, you know,
cognitive dissonance.
They, mm-hmm. Yeah, they just don't get it, and, you know, as much as you try to tell them that it's going to affect them, they have been in denial for so long, it's not something they would ever admit.
Well, and, you know, there are those stages. Yeah. Your denial society is going through the five stages of grieving. You know, we're going through denial. We're going through anger. We're going through bargaining, depression, and eventually we'll get to acceptance, you know. And those are the stages of death and dying, and as outlined by Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. I mean, the woman was amazing. And we go through those stages every single day. It's not, you know, I mean, my mother used to say we die every day a little bit. And then we come alive every day a little bit as we learn more. But, you know, and I guarantee you there's, you know, we're seeing a lot of anger out there in society. a lot of anger and a lot of fighting. And, mm-hmm. and you know, pretty soon, and it's because things are changing so quickly that, you know, people do not know how to handle it.
No.
And first they're in denial that it's ever going to happen, then they go into anger. And then, you know, society as a whole, I'm hoping is going to get to the point where they get out of the anger and the depression and they get into acceptance and the awakening. That's, you know, that's what we're here for.
The acceptance and awakening, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to have, you know, a good support network of people like we have, and because that helps. You know, someone's feeling a little bit down, a little bit depressed. Things are just a bit too overwhelming. They've had a hard day in front of the commissioners or something, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's always nice to have an understanding friend, even if it's over on Facebook, just to
mm-hmm.
know that that person understands you and what you're going through. And can
mm-hmm.
just keep you, you know, lift you up when you need it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going into the last couple minutes of the show. I can't believe how quick this 2 hours.
Wow, that went quick.
Went really fast. But I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with AECOM, how they can find the site. So that's AECOM, is that it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And do you have, I'm going to email you, the article that Louis Miranda picked up, it has a clip of Bobby Billy,
mm-hmm.
and it has Donna's quote, because when I was driving back from the Everglades, I called her and I said,
right.
I want you to look this company up. And so it has the quote from Donna, and it has, you know, what went on in that meeting, and basically, you know, I didn't really, I named myself and Donna because, you know, I don't want to put anybody in there that isn't comfortable being in there. And so, you know, it's basically Donna's and my quote, Bobby Billy and Shannon Larson and Leroy Osceola. And at that meeting, what transpired? But it also gives you all the links to SwiftMud and AECOM. Now, the SwiftMud was the initials are wrong in one of them, and AECOM, the initials are wrong. But it is AECOM and SwiftMud that were on that agenda. And it's about the natives. I'll send that whole link to you, Anita.
So we also want to mention the Real Coastal Warriors on Facebook. We want to mention that's a page. We want to mention mm-hmm. Stone Crab Alliance, which is a Facebook group, which are the people that are mobilizing
Everglades
together.
And Everglades Earth First. Everglades Earth First as well.
Okay.
On
Shannon,
Facebook.
I know Shannon and Bobby work with those young people quite often.
Good.
And then we want to definitely mention spectrabusters.org, which is the site in regards to the Sable Trail LNG pipeline, liquefied natural gas. So when you see LNG, that's what it means, liquid natural gas. But they're not telling anybody that it's methane. We're going into the last 10 minutes. So let's take a couple minutes. Donna, do you have any closing comments?
I've been working with so many good people down here in the Everglades and women that have enlightened me and educated me, Tricia and Hugh, and I'm so grateful to have met you all, and I'm learning so much because, quite honestly, you know, all of this, I used to be a shrimper many years ago, actually before the BP spill. And so this, you know, activism is I've always loved Mother Earth, but activism is something new to me, and I've never in my life before got up and spoken in front of people and spoken to commissioners and rich families that are selling their mineral rights or leasing their mineral rights off.
Bonnie,
so it's been quite a journey for me, and I'm very grateful to everybody standing up and defending Mother Earth. And I really like what Bobby C. Billy says, and that we're not fighting, but we're defending. We're defending Mother Earth, because then it puts us in a whole new light. You know, fighting is something he said, that when you say I'm fighting for Mother Earth, it kind of puts the opposition at more, gives it kind of pumps them up more. But if you just say you're defending your rights to clean water, clean air, and it just shifts everything into a different light. This is my right. This is our water. And I have a right to defend it for myself and future generations.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great. Now, Tricia?
Yes, and we are all related.
We are.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm so glad we all met. Tricia, do you have closing comments?
Yeah. You know, this whole Gulf oil spill journey has really, really been a wake-up call for me. I would definitely encourage people, you know, even if look up peak oil. Understand what's behind peak oil. Also understand that, you know, that we have a lot of very sick people in the Gulf. And now, I mean, in the last article that we did with Dar Jamal, we estimated 170,000. We had to bring those numbers down for the sake of science. But every day something new is coming out about the Gulf. We've hit the four-year anniversary, and we have a lot of we're seeing a lot of cancers. We're seeing a lot of very sick children, mothers giving birth to sick children, because of the amount of polyaromatic hydrocarbons and the volatile organic compounds and what was in that Caraxit. And, you know, this has been a labor of love, and we're here for a reason. And I'm honored to be part of a group that loves their water, that loves the earth, and that's all we have, you know?
Well, I want to thank you both for being on the show, and I just want to remind everybody that we're going to be back next week with another guest. Make sure you check us out on wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. And if you feel so inclined, hit us up at the GoFundMe link, since we are independent media and not corporate sponsored. Thank you to Here Be Monsters, the Common Project Network, and everybody else on our list of sponsors that you can see on our website. And good night, everyone. Save the planet. Save Mother Earth. People before profits.
And we love you.
And I love you, too. I love you, too, Donna. And I'm going to close with Michael Franti's song, What I Be. So good night, everyone.
Good night.
Oh, good night.
Could be the night my moon replaced electric. light. Magic music would transmit from outer space on satellite. If myself could be the ocean, you would feel emotion all the time. And if I were to work, then everything that everybody said would rhyme.
Address to those who sent the use latex, and yes, that's what I would do if I was.